No matter what happens in the upcoming federal election, we can make one prediction with absolute certainty. The number of MPs each party ends up with will bear little relation to the number of votes each party got. Fair Vote Canada thinks that this should change. They would like to see an end to the first-past-the-post electoral system and a move to a proportional representation system. Dennis Pilon is on the National Council of Fair Vote Canada. He teaches political science at Trent University and has studied voting systems for the past 15 years. And he joins me this morning from Ontario. Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Now, Scott Reed, who's the Democratic Renewal critic for the Conservative Party, recently called for a citizens' assembly on electoral reform, similar to the one that we had in BC during the last government. Is the Conservative Party as a whole in support of PR?
The Conservative Party's position is that they support a process. So, it's part and parcel of kind of a whole bunch of Democratic initiatives that kind of come out of the Reform Party wing of this new Conservative Party, but they're not committed to a specific result. So they may want to stay with the status quo, or I think Reid himself is kind of interested in some of the majority voting systems, but no specific commitment to PR.
What about the other parties?
Well, the other parties are mixed. The NDP has come out federally quite strongly in favor of PR, and so they've talked about it. We've seen some press stuff on that, Jack Layton talking about it. The Bloc, again, are suggesting they're interested in a process, but, you know, the current system benefits the Bloc. It tends to overrepresent them because they're so regionally concentrated, so they're not really that interested. Liberals, of course, are completely opposed to any change to the voting system because, after all, it's served them very well. And the Greens, for obvious reasons, are quite keen on PR.
Why isn't the NDP making this into a much bigger issue?
Well, that's a good question. The New Democrats, you get, you know, Jack will say, well, I am saying it at various, but the media aren't covering it. Certainly, you know, at the moments where he's had kind of edited opportunities in the media, he hasn't made it kind of the main issue. So, the party is, this is a recent conversion of the federal party. For a long time, the party was against PR when they thought they could replace the federal Liberals as kind of the number two party or number one party. I think recently they've come to realize that's probably never going to happen. So now, federally, they're quite committed. But at the provincial level, there's still a great deal of opposition within the party to PR.
I mean, they didn't support it here. They didn't support the STV vote here in BC either.
That's right. That's right.
So you're saying there's kind of a split amongst the NDP over PR?
There is. Amongst the activists and many of the supporters, I think there's quite a strong support for PR. But amongst the elites, there's a great deal of division on PR. Now, some say, I'm for PR, but not the STV version, and that's the line we got during the BC referendum. But then, of course, there are people in the party who are just opposed to the whole idea, you know, hook, line, and sinker, and that's people like, you know, David Schreck and Dave Barrett, you know, who want no part of PR at all.
Now, given the amount of money that business puts into political parties at election time, I guess I should ask what they think of proportional representation, even though they're not a political party.
Well, again, we see, you know, they're also divided. So it's kind of interesting. You see groups like the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, who have been quite strong supporters of voting system reform. Now, it's unclear, you know, whether they, you know, particularly approve of PR rather than, say, a different alternative. I mean, I have heard some of their representatives speak in favor of PR, and they did come out in favor of the SDV initiative in BC. But then, of course, you have others, on the business side who are not keen. So we've heard individual business leaders or, you know, some of the supporters of the Conservative Party saying, you know, this wouldn't be a good idea. People like here in Ontario, there's a fellow, Larry Solomon, who writes a lot in the National Post, heads up a kind of right-of-center environmental group who's, put out a lot of anti-kind of voting system reform stuff.
I guess the voting system works pretty good the way it is right now for people who are in business.
Well, speaking, not as a council member of Fair Vote Canada, but as a political scientist, yes, I would say that the way the current system works, it does, increase the opportunities for those who have superior resources to influence the political process. You know, they can invest in a few parties, and then, you know, that party gets 100% of the control. Whereas this current situation with the minority government, I mean, let's just take one issue with the tax cuts for corporations. Normally, that's something the Liberals would have no trouble, you know, putting through for their friends in business. But now, under a minority government, not so easy, you know, to put through an issue that's obviously, you know, doesn't have the consensus of public opinion behind it.
Now, there was a lot of talk in strategic voting in the last election, and many believe that people voting Liberal to keep the Conservatives out cost the NDP a number of seats. And strategic voting is being discussed again this time. Mm-hmm. Is there a message in that of about how people feel about the voting system?
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the arguments that's often made in favor of PR is that it will lessen the incentives for strategic voting. It won't eliminate them altogether because, of course, you know, there will always be certain political opinions that, you know, will never have enough support to get a member, so you'll have to be strategic. But, you know, it certainly lessens the need to be strategic in, you know, if you have a system where if you're voting for a, you know, a fairly major stream of opinion, like, say, the Greens, under a PR system, you know, well, I'm not going to waste my vote casting it for this party. Whereas right now, you know, Greens have a terrible decision to make come election time. You know, do they cast their vote the way they want to and then risk allowing maybe, you know, some opinion to get elected they like even less, or do they vote strategically for the best of the worst?
If we end up with another minority government, would you find a hopeful message in that for you as someone who's working for a change to the voting system?
About the only chance, as I see it, of moving this issue forward at the federal level is a minority government. So yes, we absolutely need to have another minority government for, you know, because the incentives for the existing two parties that would conceivably form a majority government, and realistically today there's only one party that could do that, and that's the Liberals. You know, there would be no way under the sun they would countenance some sort of change if they had a majority government. And it's not, I mean, they're going to kick and fight, you know, even under a minority government to avoid this question.
What kind of system would you propose at the federal level?
Well, I mean, you know, our view in Fair Vote Canada has been that it's up to, you know, the public through some kind of process to decide the trade-offs that would be required in taking up any different system. So it's not really up to me to say, you know, I think X. My own, you know, if I would add, you know, something that I think is important, it's that I do think we need a system that is maximally proportional. You know, sometimes you can come up with systems that, you know, make a trade-off between, you know, regional representation or other issues. Personally, I think that the most important thing in our politics today is the representation of our collective opinions. You know, people vote party regardless of what they say about liking an individual representative. Those parties represent different policy alternatives. And I think it's really important that we have the broadest range of opinion represented in our parliament so that we can have a really good discussion and come up with good decisions.
And one of the things I think that happened here in BC is that the system that was proposed in the referendum was a single transferable vote, STV, mm-hmm. and it was a difficult system for people to understand, apparently. Do you think that's an issue, that we would have something that has some kind of clarity about it?
Well, all systems are difficult to understand, and, you know, when I was out in BC, I asked a few people who raised that question, you know, to explain to me, just briefly, you know, how, under our system, 57% of the votes can give a party 97% of the seats. And, of course, very few people, in fact, no one, could explain to me how that happened. So even the system that they think they understand, most people really don't understand in terms of its workings. So kind of a double standard at work, you know, when we look at alternatives, because suddenly they're supposed to be, you know, clear when in fact our own institutions, whether we're talking about the voting system or registration or districting rules, you know, the public understands very little of it. And that's not entirely their fault, after all. You know, not a great deal of effort is made to acquaint them.
Well, I'm sure that statistic is not one that the governments want to have out there and well understood.
No.
Now, last month, voters in PEI were presented with a referendum on a form of proportional representation. I think it was a mixed member proportional, the kind
that
they have in Germany. And they voted against it quite solidly. Mm-hmm. Why was that?
Well, okay. One thing we have to keep in mind is that voter turnout was fairly low, and there were a couple of reasons for that. So when we say that they turned it down, I mean, we have to judge the process by how, you know, fair it was conducted. The premier, you know, ran the thing pretty quickly. There wasn't a great deal of public education. Not even all of the regular polling locations were open. So, you know, normally in an election, you know, people would be used to having, I think it was something like one quarter of the normal number of voting locations were open for this event. So there are all sorts of questions that we could raise. But even if we accept the results, you know, what does it mean? Well, PEI is a particular place, and they have their own particular culture of politics. And in my view, you know, people have to understand what they think will come from some kind of change. If they don't have a sense of, well, you know, why do I want this? Then, you know, they're not going to take to it. And in the case of PEI, the impetus for the change was really the problems that the parties are having. You know, that they've had a number of elections now where the opposition doesn't elect anyone. And, of course, this looks very embarrassing for the government. So this, the origin of this movement in PEI was not actually from the citizens, but though there was a citizens group. But for the most part, the impetus was from, you know, the political elites who wanted some solution that would allow, you know, a modest number of opposition members to get elected. What happened was that the process kind of got out of control, and the fellow who was charged with coming up with proposals came back with a proposal that the political elites didn't like at all, and that was a fully proportional model.
Okay. So some people would say, you know, you're looking at the instability of the last government, it was 17 months before it moved to another election, that in itself was an argument against proportional representation, in that without a majority it cannot continue for so long, and then we get pushed into another election campaign. What is your response to that?
Well, a couple of things. One is that, first of all, the way in which governments operate under majority or plurality rules and under PR rules are quite different. So a minority government in our system always has an incentive to go back to the polls in the hopes that this crazy system and its arbitrary way that it operates will, you know, a slight shift in the vote will suddenly reward them with this phony majority government. Now, in a PR system, that wouldn't be the case. A government that, you know, rushes back to the polls will probably not see a great change in their amount of seats. And, of course, the public will not like that at all. So it really does lead to a different kind of behavior. You know, the complaint that Jack Layton and the other parties were making was that here was a government that was clearly a minority. It was trying to act like a majority. It wouldn't cooperate with the other parties. And so they went to an election. Under a PR system, it would be very hard for the Liberals to continue to act that way because, you know, they wouldn't be able to count on getting a majority out of the system.
What do you think people should do if they want to they want to put this on the agenda? They want to push towards a proportional representation system. How do you think they should spend their energies on that?
Well, one of the things we need to do is make sure that we don't end up with another majority government. Now, it's very hard for individual voters to act on that, except to, you know, my own thinking is that people have to vote what they want, which means not operating quite so strategically, because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, if you say, well, I don't think my ideas can win, and of course, if other people are thinking the same thing as you, then of course your ideas never will win. Right? There'll never be a breakthrough to something new. So I think people need to, you know, vote their conscience a bit more. But the other thing they need to do is raise the profile of the issue. The media, you know, will often respond to people like us, Fair Vote Canada, saying, well, nobody's interested in your topic. But if they start to hear people raising it, if it's raised with the politicians in public forums, at all candidates' meetings, you know, in radio and television and newspaper interviews with the public, then we'll start to see a little more attention to the issue. Our chances of pushing it forward, I think, will be that much greater.
Well, thanks very much for talking to us this morning, Dennis.
Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Dennis Pilon. He's on the National Council of Fair Vote Canada, and he teaches political science at Trent University. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.